There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
My talkers, we are hanging out with Lori and Julia, 3 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Starting your ride home with a good little show here, and we've got Madonna tickets to give away at some point in time today.
Madonna. All right, so I got to tell you guys, you know, we've been talking a lot about Good Morning America 3, or GMA 3, as it were.
What you need to know, which we haven't been able to find out what we need to know.
We haven't, but today was an important day to be watching because this happened. Grant's going to...
Yep, give me a second.
All right, it happened, and...
I haven't even been taping that show or paying any attention to it. I just know that the credits have continued to say GMA, what you need to know... With T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach,
right.
Or Amy Robach and T.J. Holmes.
And today, supposedly, those two are meeting with the mediators.
Yeah, mediation is happening.
Yes, today.
All right.
Okay, so this, I get a text right at noon, and this is happening.
The install design. Welcome back to GMA 3. What you need to know, making the most of winter right there, that is Master Carver, Chris Swarbrick, doing his thing out there at an American Treasure. The St. Paul, Minnesota Winter Carnival, that event going strong for now 137 years, by the way. We're going to talk to Carver Chris in just a little bit.
Carver Chris. So Chris Swarbrick is from Minnesota, and he is a master carver.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the St. Paul Winter Carnival really kind of kicks off tonight. It's 137th year.
It's light up the park tonight.
I know. I'm going to give you more facts about this in random, but just a couple cool things. So as they're showing the Carver Chris, he is carving the Hammernix Interior Solutions throne. Out of ice, you know?
Which they do every year,
Which they do every year, and it was so cool. Aww. So just the detail.
Were they right in Mears Park? Is that where it is?
That's where it is. And so you can see that
there. Rice Park. Is it Rice Park?
It's Rice Park.
Thank you.
And then I've got some fun facts about it, but it's the 10th anniversary of our friend, Ted Nades, you know, who's Hammernix Interior Solution owner. He's been King Boreas, and he is this year as well, and they're going to honor him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big deal, and I thought, that's so cool. Hammernix is right there on GMA3.
People will be able to wear their snow pants, their fur bombers, and have their little glove warmers on, because it's just in time.
But the sun's going to be out,
the sun is going to be beautiful. And it also means that, like... Mancini's and Apostle Supper Club and all those bars are just going to be hopping and popping for
West
the next 7, 2 weeks.
No kidding. And they've got sponsoring warming houses and everything along the way. So we'll get more into that during randoms. But I just thought, we've been talking about GMA, and whoever thought the St. Paul Winter Carnival would be featured on GMA.
And in the video, it says, is it Hammernix in the background?
Yes,
that's
their bench.
That's their bench. That's pretty cool.
It's an ice throne.
It's an ice throne.
Yeah,
for King Boreas. I just thought that was so fun. And also, the guy who does the ice sculpturing, you know, there's so many different things for families and fun things going on this weekend about it. I had something else to say, but I forgot about it. I forgot what it was. In and out. The producer, one of the producers for GMA 3 is from Minnesota.
Oh,
there's the connection.
I asked my contact if she could have anything gossip about Amy and TJ, and she just sent a wink, wink back.
Yeah.
I just kind of laughed.
Apparently, TJ Holmes's wife has, hired a different attorney. She's got two different attorneys.
Oh, wow.
Working on her divorce.
And she's an attorney.
So she's an attorney.
She's got the attorney triangle.
Right, she does. She's got she's got all of her bases covered. And big congratulations to our friend Patrick Royce.
Yes.
He's being honored with the Herb Carneal Lifetime Achievement Award tonight.
Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. So that's real exciting. Cool. I know Sue Sheree and Reavers were going, and I guess it's kind of a fun, rowdy night. And, you know, Patrick, He's hysterical. He has the most incredible stories.
Oh.
Always.
And he can tell a story like no other. Mm-hmm. He is amazing.
Girls, what's going on today?
he's one of our Monday favorites.
Yeah,
yes, he really,
he really
he's
is.
He's a treat. He's been a treat in this town, in this city for years.
I know. Years and years. So, yeah. So, anyway, congratulations, yes. Patrick. That is well deserved. And I hope you get roasted.
Yes.
While you're getting your lifetime achievement. I feel like it's guys, there's going to be roasting.
I mm-hmm. hope so.
Yeah.
Well, with Sushre and Reverse, of course, and Brookie will probably be there too.
By the way, Julia, we did not get the memo that the voting for the My Talkies ended today at noon. So that means we have less.
Shame.
We have less time than anyone else. No one told us that. I'm glad I voted with my hairdresser's phone.
Grant,
I used her phone.
Is her microphone still on?
Yes, you are so into this. This is great.
But I mean, no one did. No, none of us knew that it was ending like today, like Thursday at noon. Like of all random, why not Friday at noon? How long does the Academy need to count?
Wow. I don't know, but you're not getting any favors from them right now. That's for sure.
When you brought this up and you're like bitching out loud in the double wide, I'm like, stop. And then they're so funny, though. Thank God I voted on my hairdresser's phone this morning. And Grant just burst out laughing.
I did. And I even voted, for the Academy's
choice. And the Academy sits right behind us in years.
But I give the Academy kudos. I'm voting for one of their categories. The movie star, Austin Butler. But anyway, Jane and I were laughing as I'm voting and I'm giving her, I'm like, are you okay with this?
That's so funny on her phone. But that's all going to kick off next week then if the voting's closed.
So I hope we're like light promoters of these types of things, and we had one less day to promote because now it doesn't matter. It's closed for business.
Well, there you go. We got to just hope all of your plugging this week paid off.
Yeah.
Paid off.
I don't expect anything, one way or the other. I have no idea if your voice matters.
I love that you were so excited about that.
Yeah.
So this is fun. It's going to be fun next week. We'll see what happens.
We'll see if it's going to be fun. And Grant's going to have to represent us on Monday as we're flying back from Los Angeles. On what we love to do is take a 6 a.m. flight out of LAX. It's joyous, Grant.
Oh, God.
We've done it so many times, and every time we curse ourselves as we go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning.
This one scares me a little because we don't have our own car.
Mm.
Who's going to drive us? Will Uber be up that early? That's the only thing I'm just thinking about.
You can do it in advance.
We can schedule. I'm just having a vision.
Oh, Julia, I always have visions of us missing flights, and somehow we never have.
But we had the most epic drive-in fight one time. Remember?
The one to Orange County when we left at like 5 in the morning out of Orange County, which is not close to L.A.
No, not at all.
And we had to get dressed, undressed out of our gowns
in
the parking ramp.
Mm-hmm. That was hysterical.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. We've had some funny things. But we're off to the AARP Movie for Grown-Up Awards. They don't know we're coming.
Good for you.
No, they don't know they're coming, but really.
They don't know we're
rather delighted.
That's the best part. You guys are crashing the AARP.
Listen.
This is desperate times, my friend.
But I'm telling you, it's a big darn deal. All of these. Yeah. First of all, everyone over 50. There's so many people over 50, and they've got all these great movie stars are going to be there in this awards, and it's going to air on PBS.
Yes.
So it actually has SAG doesn't even have SAG awards are going to be on YouTube this year.
Mm-hmm. Netflix YouTube channel with no press room. That's how little faith they have that anyone will watch the Screen Actor Guild Awards. It makes me very sad because I just feel that little dream is just slipping out of our grubby little hands. Although next week they will want to really promote it because Netflix is going to air it as its own special.
Oh, there you go. Good luck.
Good luck.
No, I don't mean it in a mean way.
No, when
they'll have a press room again. They won't. It sounds like very trimmed back because they can't.
They lost their contract.
Yeah.
With TBS and TNT
to air the show.
Well, I'm very excited because you know who's going to be here.
Hmm.
Your guy.
Oh, Austin Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. Oh. Tom Hanks. Viola Davis.
And who you can't, no one is, like Golden Globe, some people felt funny about, no one feels funny about AARP.
We're all over, there's many of us over 50, and just by 2 days.
They start letting you know at about 45. That is probably the most annoying thing that they do.
I'm going to say the great thing that they do, though, is they advocate. They're advocates for people 50 and older, and they do a great job. And I love this, so we're very excited.
They try to figure out ways to help yourself save money.
100%. Mm. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
And to live better. I love it. All right.
We got to go, Julia. It's our story we can't get enough of. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for El Burrito Mercado. And I sent Casey to El Burrito Mercado this morning because he's having a little football gathering on Sunday, yes, or whatever day the playoffs are. And he was just like, what would be easy? And I'm like, go get some of the carnitas, you know, get some of the meat. You can get guacamole, salsa, get the good chips, and you can get some of the, you know, yummy desserts that you like.
Oh, tres leche cake. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. But they have the deli and the bakery grab and go. They have the bar and restaurant there that's so wonderful. They've got the marketplace.
I love shopping there.
We do, and it's woman-owned. I mean, we also love that. We absolutely love El Burrito Mercado for all of your weekend parties and all that. And then if you're planning the big parties, like graduation parties and some summer events, get a hold of their catering and food truck department now, because you're going to want to schedule those. ElBurritoMercado.com for more information.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. So Howard Stern finally today gave us some clips from his interview. He sat down with Pamela Anderson to talk to her about her documentary and her book called Pamela Love Story that both come out next Tuesday on Netflix, the documentary and a book called Pamela Love Story. And I have to say, I listened to a lot of this interview, and she is so sweet. There is a sweetness about her. And when she told him that it was a massive battle for her to even, the publishers kept saying, well, we can find you a writer.
Right. A ghostwriter to help you.
A ghostwriter. Yep. And she's like, kept saying, well, I've kept journals. I've journaled and written poems. I had hundreds of them.
Yep.
But she told him that she said, I gained 25 pounds writing the memoir, and I called it my puffy suit of armor because of everything that I looked back on that happened to me.
And so kind of eating over.
Well, I suppose, you know.
She says she didn't eat it any different. She says, I'm a vegan. I eat nuts and berries. I don't eat a lot, but my body was changing.
Yeah, like maybe. Anyway, I thought that was kind of sweet. And then here she is.
What's real? She's always felt real.
Very, yeah. Despite everything. And she's talking. And this film has been in the making for several years, and she just really wants to set the record straight as she looks back at the age of 55 on her professional path, her personal journey. Howard asked her early in the interview about the Playboy Mansion, you know, how that all went.
To me, but anyone I ever spoke to, and I've interviewed a lot of people who spent time at the Playboy Mansion, women who've posed in Playboy, it all kind of seems like the same MO. When you get there off the bus, it's kind of like, well, we want to dye your hair blonde. We want to get you dressing a certain way.
You know, my first day at the Playboy Mansion, I was in my acid wash jeans, you know, and some rock t-shirt with my sneakers on with the little balls on the socks, you know, and they were like, you know, you can come to the Playboy Mansion closet and get dressed for the next time you come out. And I thought, well, what kind of clothes would be in the Playboy Mansion closet?
Right. He didn't even have what innocent little Pamela.
People don't wear clothes.
It's almost like the Twilight Zone. They want to mold you into the same person in a way.
David LaChapelle used to say going to the Playboy Mansion was like the Twilight Zone. Like he thought he saw 100 of me from the back and then they would turn around and not be me.
Right. But it's true. Yeah. And then they move you in, right? I mean, like you get a room there and you live there and they feed you and the whole thing.
I wouldn't stay there. I was nervous. I don't know. I mean, this is my spidey sense, my Mr. Magoo thing. I just always thought, even when I came here, the first thing they said was, well, you'll stay at the Playboy Mansion. I said, no, I'll stay at a hotel. Then I stayed at the hotel and they would call me and say, Pamela, we want you to come.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
For fight night, and I'd say, I'm not fighting anybody. They're like, oh no, we're just coming to watch like Mike Tyson fight on the big screen. But I thought they wanted me to jello wrestle or something. And they said, no, you don't have to mud wrestle. You're fine. I said, okay, good. Because I'm not.
So I loved that. And then they talked about, you know, Howard, of course, he does. I will say he did, like he always does, you know, everything is about sex, 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 sex. You know, that's what he likes to do. But he did really.
I feel like he's trying to change that a little bit.
Yeah, he is. But not on this interview, because maybe because of so much of what Pamela is writing about is you know, consensual sex, times that she was, you know, assaulted, molested. She tells Howard about how she had a babysitter who started like molesting her when she was like 4.
Oh,
and then when she was 6, she felt the babysitter, and it was a woman, was maybe doing something to her brother, and Pamela, 6-year-old Pamela, wished her dead, and the next day she was killed in a car accident. And then she's, you know,
then thinking, did I do that? Wow. Do I have a superpowers? Yeah, think of the guilt on that as a kid, because you don't understand it.
Well, yeah. Mm. And then here she is talking about, he brings up Pam and Tommy, you know, the TV series.
Say about it in the documentary and in the book. You're 100% right. It was great for Tommy, this tape, because he's a rock star. He's the drummer in Motley Crue. For me, it really did undermine your career. It did sort of change the perception of who Pamela Anderson was.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it wasn't a positive thing. It definitely took its toll on the relationship. It took its toll on my career, and people are still capitalizing off that. That was the shocking part. I remember seeing this Pam and Tommy thing on Hulu or some advertisement for it, and I thought, what the hell is this? No one called me. No one asked
Nobody
me. I'm still
calls
alive.
You when no, stuff
I said
like
they're doing
done.
It. No, nothing to do with me.
I saw you say that in the Netflix special that you won't look at it, and I don't blame you. I wouldn't look at it either. Do you ever try to contact? I know Seth Rogen was one of the producers. He's a very reasonable guy. Did you ever
you think
say
so?
Yeah,
I never tried to reach out. No, I felt like I just felt kind of run over with that one. I think I don't think they really portrayed Tommy or I positively. I don't know. I mean, I only heard that it was a very shallow kind of representation of us, but you know, of that time. But I don't know why
back.
They, I mean, I wish they would have called.
Well, had they called, maybe you could have said, look, I'm not comfortable with this. Or maybe you could have even said, hey, well, maybe we can collaborate on my life story.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think I probably would have been involved, because especially about that subject matter, I just, why bring it up again? And, you know, bringing it up again, but I just felt that's why, you know, Brandon's the one who produced the film, the documentary. He was like, Mom, you just need to tell your story, because I just want to make sure that you get to tell your story, you know, like write this book. And then the documentary, I just said, here, I haven't killed anybody. Here's the keys to my archives, and you can read my diaries, everything. I said, let's just let it all out.
And she does. And she said her boys were really sweet. They feel like, you know, their mom and dad really did have a love story, and they were loved children. And, you know, but she just said we couldn't.
I want to see this.
We couldn't survive that sex tape. It was so devastating for me.
And you can see that.
Yeah. And then, knowing all this other stuff that happened to her. So, yeah, I'm totally going to watch this show.
I totally want to watch it. And I think the book would be good.
Same.
Yeah,
Same. So she also, I guess one of the excerpts from her book is she said, yeah, Jack Nicholson, you know, I saw him once at the Playboy Mansion with two women and, you know, he was clearly having a threesome. And I walked by the mirror to fix my lip gloss and then I saw them behind me. And I know the bathrooms they're talking about. There's bathrooms all around the grotto.
Oh,
remember when
okay.
I had my tour of the Playboy
yes,
Mansion?
Yes, you did.
So people could see each other in mirrors oh. while being apart. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk Learning Rx. You know, I was just listening to a commercial when I was driving in with Baird talking about why he even got interested in Learning Rx so many years ago when he heard about the program and his daughter had dyslexia and
struggling.
And he knew she was
smart.
Yeah, and knew we didn't have anything here like it, so brought the franchise to Minnesota to help his daughter out. And it's such a great story about her, you know, graduating college with a 3.98 GPA. And, you know, LearningRx works. It's when your children are really struggling with reading, organizational skills, remembering things, it's because just parts of their brain are under firing. And LearningRx has the people and the tools and the proven success story about how to help people learn how to learn. Call them today to set up your one-hour assessment at 952-949-6900. Mention us and the assessment's 50% off.
All right, everybody. Last night, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion part one was on. The ladies all came dressed like creamsicles. They were in burnt orange peanuts.
Yeah.
Remember those things?
Yeah. Boston peanuts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But they're French burnt peanuts. Yeah. They were the pebbled ones.
Oh, I know what those are. I love those.
Yeah. And Lisa Barlow was like in cream and they were in New York City. They filmed it. So they didn't even do it in Salt Lake City. They had the ladies pull up in a Sprinter van. But
because so many things happened on that show in a Sprinter van.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Jen Shah getting arrested and all of that. But the thing that we're going to get to the Heather Gabe finally sharing the backstory behind her black eye. And it's so lame. It's so bad. It probably is true, but she's ridiculous. I don't know how this is going to be a three-part reunion. They brought out three friends of the housewives on the very first part.
Okay, first of all, when the reunion is only four people, there are only four people left from when this show started because we lost Mary last year, and then Jen we've lost because she's going to prison.
And Jen Shah, while the reunion is going on, and Meredith pretended to call her, or maybe she did call her, but while the reunion is happening, Jen Shah is asking her fans to subscribe to her website for the real story. And all they have to do is provide their email, which is the very thing she's going to prison for, selling those lists. Who is doing that?
Oh, my God. She's
clueless.
Yeah.
Clueless.
But at the same time, watching some of the playbacks, you know.
Yeah.
She did bring it. In many ways, she made that show more interesting.
Well,
because everyone else just fights.
She did a lot of fighting. Let
I did
me tell
too.
You, she did a lot of fighting
in a different way. I don't like her, Lori. I'm just saying, for me as a viewer, at least she didn't do the exact same fight that Meredith and Lisa Barlow
have been having for 2 years,
and that Heather and Whitney are
having. Right, I see what you're saying.
It's so boring. At least her fights were so wackadoodle, you didn't know where they were coming from.
And then she would be in her, you know, interview outfit, that tiny little hat.
She looked like a little monkey from the blowout, you know, pop in the box. Yes.
Yeah.
So she would bring something different.
Yeah, but the irony of her going to prison for using people's data to scam them and then telling people, I'll tell you the full story if you give me your data, is just like, whoa.
Mind-blowing.
So Heather Gay, the story is that like maybe three or four episodes before the season ended, they were on a girls' trip to San Diego because they could only travel in country because Jen couldn't leave the country. So
because their trips
this year were Arizona, you know,
San Diego, and they're just going from Utah.
Yeah. And anyway, they had a epic night out where they all dressed up like Marilyn Monroe. They dress so you know a cast is struggling when they have to have a costume party to be filmed on the show. That's a way of stretching out. Let's see what happens.
It's a COVID show because during COVID they had a lot of costume parties.
No, but this wasn't COVID.
I understand that, but I mean, that's how desperate they were.
Yeah, but this is now, you know, I understand. All of that. They're just doing it first. Then they go to a restaurant as their Marilyns, but it ends up being a very long day and night of drinking. And they have footage of some of the girls coming to wake somebody up at 4 a.m, flashing, you know, just real, the kind of hijinks that you'll get from every housewife show, at least one trip.
Right. The kind of behavior you do in college.
Yeah, but the kind of thing that can happen on this type of a thing, because remember, people have been drinking all day.
Oh.
So Heather Gay wakes up the next morning with a black eye, like a black eye that like that's punched in the face black eye.
Mm-hmm.
And she, over the next 4 episodes, variously claims to she knows, but she's not going to tell. She doesn't know. She really doesn't know what happened. She tells different people different things. Acting coy. Well, I'll let people know when the time is right. And then it turns out, you know, her big story is that she was too embarrassed to tell anybody that she blacked out and she can't remember how she got the black eye. She also let people think possibly Jen might have given her the black eye.
Right.
It was...
I can kind of, you know, she just should have owned it right away because.
Yes.
Because, yeah, guys, I was so messed up last night, blacked out. I have no idea how I got this. Just say that. But I get the shame.
No. She'd been working on a book. I swear.
Oh, the book that she might be getting sued on, Bad Mormon.
Yeah, I swear this whole thing has made her look so bad because she could have just shared that away with everybody. And people can relate to that about people being embarrassed about being blackout drunk while you're filming for a television show.
I mean, how embarrassing.
Yeah. So anyway, and Lisa Barlow, I don't agree with her on much, but when she chimed in, she's like, why didn't you just tell us? That caused so much damage in our friend group.
Right. She was right about that.
So, and Andy Cohen said, because she didn't know, and she told the producer that, Bravo conducted an investigation.
I know they did, which is horrible.
Well, they had to make sure it was not somebody like it. And so, obviously, they conducted an investigation. They didn't find anything. And what that means is they went through all the footage they have.
Yeah.
And they didn't find how she did it.
This show is done.
I think
it's done.
Yeah.
And then when they brought in the new people, the three new people, I have no
interest in any of them.
None. And I feel like that show started out with such a bang. It was so fun. It was so different.
Get Mary Crosby back.
I mean, it was so fun. Oh. I don't see this show because it's on a temporary pause like Beverly Hills. So we don't even know.
That's 3 shows in a row Andy's had to put on temporary pause.
New York, Beverly Hills, and now Salt Lake. Yeah. Salt Lake just ended with... I felt like none of these people like each other. There's no fun. It's not fun anymore. It's same hashing. I was bored.
Yeah.
And I thought, if you, Meredith, talk one more time about how you've been disrespected by Lisa Barlow. And they play so dirty.
And, you know, these two were friends for 10 years. It's kind of hard to believe. Although Lisa's hot mic moment
was bad.
Was really bad in the sense that she just said the most vile things. And she felt like that wasn't the first time she'd said that about her. And I think that just kind of shook Meredith that she didn't know her friend at all.
Exactly.
And she hasn't been able to get over it.
And then just.
But yeah, who knows when that show will come back, if it'll come back. I know they ruled out Houston. They ruled out San Francisco. They've been looking for another. I watched the real Friends of West Hollywood last week.
How was that? Brad Goreski.
And they led with Brad Goreski. He was the very first scene. He's the reason I'm watching it.
Is it any good?
You know, I watched one episode. I liked seeing Brad. I loved him on the Rachel Zoe report. I watched the Brad, his show that he had.
Yeah.
you know, I like Gary Jannetty, his husband. I think he's funny, but Todrick Hall is kind of a tedious person, and he, his very first little storyline is Brad comes over to visit Todrick at his house in West Hollywood, and Todrick goes, you know, on and on about how he's so misunderstood by the community he's trying to represent. And he has like a bad reputation.
I don't even know who he is.
He's a dancer. He's had beef with different people. He's been accused of not playing as dancers. What else?
He was on Todrick, you're talking about? He was on Celebrity Big Brother, and he also had a little controversy on that about the way he treated some of his cast members. Yeah. And they were saying he was lying. And he afterwards, he came out in this whole like rant about everybody was mistreating him. But yeah, he's been in the news most recently for Celebrity Big Brother. That was last year, I believe.
And he really made people dislike him. So they kind of had a thing. But I mean, I watched it and I was just like the real, you know, the real house friends. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called, but the Real Friends of West Hollywood, I think it was.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was like on VH1. And I've come up with a great idea, Grant. Julia, see if you like this idea. So I'm telling Jane, Queen of the Buttery Blondes at Sloan Salon, about I've got ideas for TV shows. I've got ideas for movies. And she says, well, what's your TV show? And I said, have you ever heard it? Young Gravy. And she says, no. I said, well, let's go to his Instagram and look at some of his pictures.
He's from Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would, if they wanted to reboot, if VH1 wants to reboot Rock of Love.
Oh, my God.
Cast Young Gravy. They can have 20 or something, 30, 40, and 50. Because dated Addison. Remember, he brought her to the AMAs. Yeah, yeah. They should reboot Rock of Love with Young Gravy. And having the age range of women, that would be epic. That would be epic.
It would work,
Grant. I'm telling you.
That would actually really be
and
a fun way to reboot
people would
that.
Get to know him. It's what his career needs. I wish I was consulting him or helping him, because I would be pitching this idea or making whoever should be pitching it Young Gravy, because he's very single and he likes women of all ages.
Yes, he
particularly
does.
The older ones. Because, like, in watching The Bachelor the other night, poor Zach, who Jason said that he's like, you put all the bachelors in a Vegemite mixer. And Zach would come out. They do at least have an age range of women. They had like 23 to 36.
Yeah.
I was just kind of, at least with 30 women, I mean, you know, whatever. But the idea of a Rock of Love with it and Young Gravy being that, you know, I like this. I like this idea very much.
All right.
If anyone from Hollywood's listening, go ahead.
Take it.
Take my idea,
so
Young
funny.
Gravy, if your mom is listening.
Why don't we get Young Gravy on the show?
Who knows? I don't know how to do things on Instagram. I went through and liked a whole bunch of posts. He's already done the modeling shoots for some of the Rock of Loves. He likes to be photographed with two women kissing him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And they're usually elderly or older in age.
Yeah, older than Joe.
Careful.
Careful. Yeah.
Those old young people.
Those beautiful. People. I watched a couple episodes of MILF Manor, by the way.
Oh, tell me.
I have that on the DVD.
Tell me.
Oh,
is it good?
It's. I wouldn't say good. It's good. Very interesting. It's got some great lines back and forth, and I love the idea
of all the women are with their sons at this manor.
It's really
so
cool.
The other women might be going out with these. I mean,
I'd be so uncomfortable.
It's very, very weird. But
what's that on again, Grant?
I think it's on AM. What was it? I don't know. I recorded it. It's just on my DVR. But MILF Manor. It's on.
Is it on MTV or VH1?
I saw headlines for it.
TLC.
TLC.
It's
TLC
it is, show.
Yeah. MILF Manor.
Mm-hmm. MILF Manor. All right, we got to go. We'll be right back.
Okay, so Furniture Manor has, I was telling you this yesterday, you have to go there. They're 2 miles north of 694 on County Road in 81 in Osseo. And I'm telling you, so the whole concept of Furniture Manor is luxury made affordable. With fashion-forward accessories, personalized design service, and just beautiful, beautiful furniture in good, better, and best pricing. But they're having a huge sale right now, which makes it better, better, and better pricing.
Yeah, I like that.
But, you know, they really have a great eye for beautiful furniture in not too expensive price ranges. And I'm salivating over this extra wide corduroy couch. It's back, people, but in a softer, more Chanel way, like a Chanel corduroy that's right in the entryway. Go and see it. You'll die. It is so gorgeous. Furniture Manor, you're going to love it.
Thank you so much. So, I mean, the greatest thing I saw on the shows yesterday was, and I just happened to tape it just because I was like, Allison Williams is going to be on Drew Barrymore. I want to tape it. I adore her. I just really like her.
Allison Williams. And of course, she is the baby mother of Uhtred of Bettenberg.
That's right. I had totally forgotten about that. But I've been a fan of her since she was on Girls. And I mean, anyway, and she stars in Megan. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to tape this and see what Drew does. Well, Drew Barrymore comes out. She is dressed like Megan.
The doll.
Right down to the contacts.
The scary doll.
The hair, talking like Megan.
No.
Allison Williams didn't know whether to laugh or bolt running. Like, no one told me I was going to have to work this hard. It was so funny. She actually ran. Allison was like, well, can you run on all fours? And Drew Barrymore did. Then she lost a contact. It was instantly iconic daytime TV. Okay?
Oh, my. Looking at it right now. You're right. She's got it on point. Holy cow.
On point. She did the dance. It was such a funny, creative way to interview somebody.
I love that.
I really, really liked it. And then last night was the premiere of Magic Mike's Last Dance, a movie we are very excited about.
Very,
very excited. I saw the trailer. Anyway, the premiere was last night. Grant has posted this photo at my request very early this morning because I was like, okay. Fishnet and dress are two words that do not belong together. And Selma Hayek is wearing a fishnet dress beach cover-up. It might be from Gucci. And then she's wearing a bathing suit or just a nice bra and a bikini bottom with it. And I saw it forward from the back. And I get it. She's 56. She's in this movie. She stepped in to play Tandy Newton or Twandy Newton's thing after Channum and Tandy got in a fight about the Will Smith slap.
Yep.
And so she quit.
She also was having troubles in her marriage.
But they quit.
They did.
It was a blow-up fight.
It was.
And they agreed. No one's charged. You know, he agreed to let her go. Selma is the last-minute fill-in. And she's like this promoter who wants Mike to do this great show in London. And she's clearly too old for him. But yet we see sexual tension. So Selma shows up last night in a very lovely knit. It almost looks like one of those nice bags they made in the 70s that you would throw your fruit and vegetables in.
Well, it totally is.
It had appliques.
It's a produce bag.
Yeah, right.
It's so trashy. I can't. And she, let's just revisit who her husband is. He owns
Arnaud Pinot.
Yeah, LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Hermes, Gucci. She has access to everything, and she showed up in the beach cover up over her black bra and under a sheet. This says, I'm still relevant.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't get
she can't ever decide if she's a saloon girl. That's what Holly said, or, you know, she's just going to be va-va-voom. But we've never seen her wear anything like this. She usually just shows off her gorgeous décolletage, which is really, like, that's what I would be doing, Grant, right?
100%.
But the thing is, and I saw this from the back, Julia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, no, it's not that it looks
she's
bad or anything.
Body.
Here's the thing about wearing something like this. You are on Wedgie Patrol.
Oh, God,
with
yeah.
every step you take. Okay. I have a mesh beach cover-up.
I know you do.
It's long sleeve with a hood. And it can be a wedgie catcher maker.
Kind of. Okay. I want to go back to this for a second because so it's a black fishnet dress with little flower appliques over black brown underwear.
It would be so cute in Saint-Tropez or
over
Capri.
A bathing suit, darling.
It's amazing.
But to a movie premiere, I don't think so. But what I want to say about this, because Grant, you brought it up earlier, because it's kind of a black bathing suit cover up a la Ed Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay, so when in Mexico, I was just there on my honeymoon, FYI.
You saw a lot of cover ups.
I saw a lot of cover up, but one store in particular that was everywhere kept having kind of the updated Ed Hardy look, which is this.
Yeah,
which is the fishnet tops with the flower appliques, but it just reminds me of Ed Hardy for some reason.
I mean, the embroidery on this is beautiful, well, and I'm wondering how much a fishnet dress from Gucci costs.
I can't get over looking at her belly button and stuff, though. It's just not.
And then she's got her hair in the I Dream of Jeannie thing. I feel like this has, like, somebody talked her into this. And maybe Valentina, her daughter, was like, yes, mommy, you know.
And realize we see no one else on the red carpet. I've been trying to find other red carpet photos. So we don't know if Channing Tatum is still.
Channing was there.
I see him, but we don't know if his date, who we think he's dating.
Oh, no, she wasn't there. Zoe wasn't there.
We don't see anyone else.
No, I know.
This is a funny.
Yes.
Maybe there's a beach right off to the side. Maybe there's a pool that we're missing out on and they were just getting ready to dive right in.
Anyway, I just know, I don't know everything about fashion, but I do know that fishnet and dress shouldn't be paired together.
People go look at it. It's posted on the Lori and Julia show. Yeah. It's a very odd choice.
There you go.
But again, it's a stripper movie. So mm-hmm. she's showing it to us, you know, maybe that's in theme.
Yeah.
You know, just right.
Yeah.
It could have been that.
I know. So anyway, I wanted to be the thought bubble inside Channing's head as he saw what she was wearing.
Okay. I have to tell you something. So remember how
Boom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have much time, but last night in the Real Housewives of Salt Lake reunion, Heather, they alluded that she's in lawsuits.
Yes.
It's because the later Church of Latter-day Saints Latter-day Saints is opposing Bad Mormon that she's trying to trademark.
Oh.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's trying to trademark that? Oh, well, good luck, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. is there a market? Are there a lot of bad Mormons waiting to wear their bad
Mormon? I don't know. But then it says, can a religion really be trademarked? I mean,
All
right, so
seems like a small market.
I think. We've got Madonna tickets later in the show. Stay with us.